This is the Briznet.com call-in show on the Horse Racing Radio Network. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776. Now, here's Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman.
Good evening, and welcome to this week's edition of the Briznet.com call-in show, your hour, HRRN Nation. Happy to be back for another edition of the Briznet.com call-in show. Action Ed DeRosa is on assignment. He's actually doing TV right now at Churchill Downs, forced into some face action, if you will, at Churchill Downs. So happy to be joined by my partner in crime on race day this afternoon, Dave Friedman. It's his maiden voyage on the Briznet.com call-in show. I would normally say treat him gently, but I really just want you to give him the most difficult questions you could possibly come up with. Ask him everything about Bob Baffert. Ask him about George Navarro. Ask him about Jason Service. All this fun stuff that's gone on in racing over the last years. Now, feel free to talk about whatever you'd like. The phone lines are open now. 888-966-4776 is the number to call in. That's 888-966-HRRN. Dave, your first time on the Briznet.com call-in show. I'm going to start you off by a question that I'd love to hear your opinion, and I'd love to hear from our callers. I want either, and from you I want both. I want two best bets as of today as far as most likely winners in Breeders' Cup races. They don't have to be horses that pay $20. They can pay $3 if you're finding horses that are paying $3. I want your two most likely winners, regardless of post position, as of right now, what you're thinking in your head. And I also want a horse who's going to get play that you 100% want no part of on Breeders' Cup weekend, my friend.
Well, let's start with the obvious one, the low-hanging fruit, if you will. I think we talked about it during the race day program yesterday. I don't think anyone's beating Gamin, and I don't think anyone's touching Gamin. And quite frankly, the other horses in the filly and mare sprint division are nowhere remotely close to that horse's qualifications. The only time we've seen Gamin lose is that race that was run at a much, much longer distance, the Kentucky Oaks. At one turn, I don't think anyone's coming close, do you?
Well, we certainly haven't seen very many of them come close. And when she runs well, they certainly don't come close. I'm looking at odds courtesy of Bovada, which is an offshore sports book. And, you know, it's something not in this country. And these are certainly not odds that to swear by. But they have Breeders' Cup futures up. And I can tell you by a long way, Gamin is the shortest price of any runner in any of the races. They have Gamin right now at minus 125. And by the way, that is minus 125 whether she runs minus 125. So basically somewhere she's, you know, somewhere in the 3 to 4 to 5 range. And that's assuming she even runs. You know, you don't get your money back on the futures if you bet them and they don't run in the race. So you're having to lay 125 to win 100 that she runs and wins the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. Before we get to your other most likely winner, let's see if Vince in California has something for us. Vince, welcome to the show.
Hey, Bobby, I've called in a couple times. I was the one with the Hollywood Park bus story after the races. And it was funny how you said, yeah, if you wanted to leave after the sixth race, what the hell were you supposed to do? You made me laugh. And I've really been enjoying your coverage, Bobby. It seems like you're really one of us, and you probably had a lot of betting stories, and I really appreciate it. But what I'm calling in about is I really wanted to bet Hot Rod Charlie, but Midnight had a hell of a race in the Travers, and I'm scared. I don't think I'm going to be stealing anything here. I think it's going to be a hell of a race. What do you guys think?
Well, first of all, thanks for your call, Vince, and I appreciate the compliments. I'm honored. I appreciate that. And I am one of you guys, or you're one of me, because it feels like we've been through the wars together. You know, and unfortunately, we remember a lot more of bad things that have happened to us over the years than good things that have happened. But there have been some good things from time to time. And you know, Dave, he's talking about the Pennsylvania Derby, which is a matchup of Hot Rod Charlie and Midnight Bourbon, and there's other ones obviously in there that are very, very talented. We found out early in the week that Medina Spirit would not be running in the race. He's going to opt for the Awesome again a week later. Listen, these are two very, very good three-year-olds, and I've never been a Midnight Bourbon fan myself. He's a better horse than I gave him credit for. He ran such a good race last time out against Essential Quality in a race where, I mean, I thought when Essential Quality is outside of him at the top of the stretch, that's just free money. Because to me, I thought that Midnight Bourbon was more of a second and third type horse. It just turns out that he's a really good horse who unfortunately has been running second and third behind other really good horses. I think that's what's happened. Hot Rod Charlie interfered with Midnight Bourbon in the stretch run of the Haskell. It certainly was lucky that Midnight Bourbon didn't fall or get seriously hurt in the race. I think Hot Rod Charlie was going to win that race no matter what. I think he was the better horse going into that race. I still think he's a little bit better than Midnight Bourbon, but I don't think it's much better.
Yeah, I mean, this race comes down to value. Hot Rod Charlie is going to be, I don't know, even money? What do you think? 6-5?
I would say at most. He's the one that they're going to be playing.
And what's Midnight Bourbon going to be?
Well, Midnight Bourbon's going to be the second choice, but I would say somewhere around 5-2.
Yeah, I think that's about right. So convert those into percentages. Is Hot Rod Charlie a 60% likely chance of winning this race? Does Midnight Bourbon win this race one out of every 2.5 or 3 times that they run this race? I mean, the public is going to have the odds in this race right or close to right because it's ostensibly a two-horse race. And that's not to say that you can't find someone that you have some sort of desire to back in exotic wagers, but those two are far and away the most likely winner. If Hot Rod Charlie is even money, if they run this race twice, does he win at least one of them? Yeah, I think he does. Midnight Bourbon is going to need to be probably 3-1, 7-2 for me to offer value in the race. I like Midnight Bourbon. Ran absolutely huge in the Traverse. Didn't win. Still got held off by Essential Quality. It's been the story of Midnight Bourbon's career. Second best, third best, races against really, really good horses, doesn't actually win. I mean, the two wins are, at this point, kind of a long time ago, right? I mean, and the two wins are, they're quality wins, they're solid, no one would knock them, but hasn't actually beaten the Hot Rod Charlies or the Medina Spirits of the world. I have a ton of respect for that horse, and I think he has a good chance to win. I just need probably something in that 3-1 range to bet on him.
It goes as race 12 on the Parks card on Saturday, the $1 million Grade 1 Pennsylvania Derby. Nice field of 9 after the scratch of the Kentucky Derby winner, Medina Spirit. Speaking of Medina Spirit and speaking of the Kentucky Derby, you know, a horse that's missing out of these races is Mandaloon. Is it possible that Mandaloon finishes second in the Derby and second in the Haskell and ends up winning both of them?
Yeah, no question. I think it's likely that that is going to be the case.
See, I think it's not likely that it's going to be the case. For some reason, the longer this whole Derby nonsense the longer it stays in courts and the more that attorneys get involved, I find more loopholes get found. And, you know, it seems so cut and dry. This ingredient is the number one ingredient listed on this cream that he has admitted to being put on this horse that the horse has tested positive for. Yet somehow this is not a cut and dry thing. And I'm laughing because, like I said, I like chaos. And it's so funny to me that this kind of stuff happens. And listen, this is the same court system in our beloved United States of America that took over 20 years to finally put Richard Ramirez to death. The guy who killed like 40 people, whatever it was, you know, the Night Stalker in Southern California. So this is our court system. Guy who goes into court and basically admits to doing these heinous things to whatever it was, 20, 30, 40 people, and he's in jail for over 20 years before they finally give him the death sentence. When it comes to our court system, I am a non-believer when it comes to things getting done. Speaking of odds, and maybe looking ahead, we talked about Gamin, what she's going to be as far as how big a favorite in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint. You have some other information about some Breeders' Cup odds, don't you?
Well, we'll talk more about Breeders' Cup odds in a minute. I think this is a fascinating topic, and I do encourage our fans to call in 888-966-4776, 888-966-4776. We'd love to get your thoughts on this. But if you don't think Mandaloon is eventually going to be the winner of the Kentucky Derby, if you don't think that that is going to get overturned, do you think that Bob Baffert is going to be able to run horses in May's Kentucky Derby?
That one I don't know. Because
I think it's linked together.
There's part of me that says that a private place can exclude anybody that they want.
Right.
I think it is private property. It's not like walking into a park. You know, I mean, it is owned by a company. It is private property. I'm pretty sure that they have the right to refusal to anyone. Just, you know, just the same way if somebody they think is overserved and maybe acts like, they're a little bit wonky and that they can escort them off the premises, that kind of a thing. So I don't know. I'm intrigued by this whole thing. It's a bad situation. I feel bad for the owners who are involved because they are, you know, yes, they know what they're getting into, especially now with all that's come out in the last year or so with Bob Baffert. But the fact is, you know, they're going to have to make very tough decisions and very, very soon.
I feel like Churchill Downs is dug in on this. I feel like they are going to have as strong a lawyering, put as much resources behind this as Baffert is. And to me, it's a correlated parlay. If you believe that Medina Spirit is going to be the Kentucky Derby winner forever and ever, then you also believe all of the rules and the bans that have been put in place are going to get torn apart and Baffert's going to run horses in the Derby going forward. If you think that Medina Spirit is going to lose the Kentucky Derby, Mandaloon is going to win, then I think the ban on Baffert is held up. I don't know how you can think one is going to take place and the other is not.
Is there any chance that if this got solved by the end of the year and Medina Spirit, well, I'm not going to even ask this question. It's such a ridiculous question. I can't even, for somebody who loves to stir the pot and ask ridiculous questions, I can't even ask this one. It's so ridiculous. 888-966-4776, the number to call. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll get to the Blood Horse News update and get back out to the phones. Give us a call if you'd like to talk about what's going on with Bob Baffert, or if you want to give us your horses that you think, you know, you're too quote-unquote locks for the Breeders' Cup this year, or a horse you absolutely cannot wait to bet against at a short price. Maybe it's somebody like Flightline. Maybe you're loving all the hype that Flightline's getting, and you hope he runs in the Breeders' Cup Sprint because you can't wait to take your shot against a horse that you think may be a little bit overcooked as of right now. Give us a call. The phone lines are open, 888-966-4776. You're listening to the BrisNet.com call-in show here on HRRN.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? The Bristnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Bristnet.com performance plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Bristnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Bristnet.com/APR. The Bristnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Bristnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Bristnet is the handicapper's edge.
Live racing is back. Churchill Downs, September 16th through October 3rd. With the same strong purses back from summer and four new stakes races, you won't want to miss live racing at Churchill Downs. With the win in your end Grade 3 Iroquois, a Derby points race, and Grade 3 Pocahontas, an Oaks points race on September 18th, plus the new Bourbon Trail, Louisville Thoroughbred Society, Harrods Creek, and Seneca Stakes, this September meet is sure to be full of excitement. For more racing information and to get your tickets today, visit ChurchillDowns.com.
This is HRRN, your exclusive home for the Breeders' Cup World Championships. This is the Bristnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the Bristnet.com call-in show. Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman on a Thursday night. It's time now for the Blood Horse News Update and a look at the top headlines from BloodHorse.com. Oh, Dave, this is not a story that I wanted to read. Dual champion Monomoy Girl retired from racing. Monomoy Girl retired after sustaining injury during training September 21st. Monomoy Girl, two-time Eclipse Award winner and seven-time Grade 1 winner, has been retired from racing after she was discovered to have sustained an injury during training September 21st at Churchill Downs. Monomoy Girl went out for a routine gallop Tuesday morning and came back a little off in her right front leg. We had it x-rays and found a non-displaced fracture of the sesamoid. Obviously, we're very disappointed, said trainer Brad Cox. She's walking sound today. It's not anything that will require surgery. It's just unfortunate that it will end her racing career. That wraps up this afternoon's edition of the Blood Horse News Update. The new Blood Horse Plus, available through BloodHorse.com, provides exclusive content to subscribers, including a daily detailed stakes winners section, behind-the-scenes videos and interviews, on-demand access to deeper horse stats, Blood Horse Market Watch, and much, much more. That's the new Blood Horse Plus on BloodHorse.com. Upgrade today. Well, we knew the time was going to come eventually for Monomoy Girl to retire. I was hoping she had another race or two left in her. Unfortunately, that is not to be, and she will go off and be a broodmare. She gave us a lot of thrills over the last few years, my friends, and sold for $9.5 million this fall after her Breeders' Cup distaff win.
14 wins in 17 career races with earnings just under $5 million. When you think back on her career, is there one race that you'll remember?
Well, actually, the race I'm going to remember is the race where she was DQ'd against Midnight Bisou.
Yep.
That was certainly memorable. But no, you know what? She kind of had the same style most of her races. That win in the Kentucky Oaks from the 14 hole was phenomenal. I actually liked Midnight Bisou against her that day, and she was just fantastic. What a really, really good race mare. And it's just a matter of time before there's a Monomoy Girl stakes or handicap at one of these major facilities around the country.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see where that's run. Churchill Downs, Oaklawn Park, Keeneland. There are a lot of options. Saratoga?
Maybe it'll become the Monomoy Girl Breeders' Cup Distaff. That'll be it. Ooh. Maybe Spendthrift will spend the money to sponsor the Breeders' Cup Distaff in honor of Monomoy Girl. Never know. It could happen. Let's get out to the phone lines. Our good friend Charles in Mississippi is on. Welcome back to the BristNet.com call-in show, my friend.
Good afternoon, Bobby and Dave. How are y'all doing?
Well, we're probably not doing as well as you, because I know you're a big Charlie Appleby fan, and you called your shot coming out of the week last week, and I'm pretty sure that Appleby delivered and then some to what you had hoped for.
Well, I think he won three of the four races he was involved in between Belmont and Woodbine, but how is the Big A doing?
The Big A is doing fine. He's taking some time off. He's just, you know, getting things together. But he's okay. He's getting better. And you can still see him on TV at NYRA for their pregame show.
All right. Well, just give him my best. But what I'd like to talk about is two things. Baffert ought to be, you know, horse racing is really tough on jockeys that use buzzers. And
I can't wait for this. I know it's coming, Charles. I know it's coming. I can't wait for this. Go ahead.
The same rules ought to be applied to Mr. Baffert. I don't care how good, you know, why racing allows this man to keep running without punishment is beyond the pale. Beyond the pale, Bobby.
Well,
and I don't care. He mess with the biggest race in the United States. And I will never bet one of his horses in any race he has them entered. I don't care how good they look on paper. I don't care how much money I can win. I have a self-imposed Bob Baffert ban for the rest of my life, which probably won't be too long. The other thing I want to talk about is y'all brought up the futures, and I don't know if you saw where Mischief is running and what futures he's running in, but I think he's the best horse in the world, Bobby, and on turf or either dirt. And I just hope he runs in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Classic. I think you could be able to get 5 or 6 to 1, but if you look at his breeding, go back. This is back before the Saudi Cup. I was intrigued by Gosden putting him, you know, as his second horse in the Saudi Cup. And when you look at his breeding, you know, he's got some serious American dirt horses, elusive quality, seeking the goal in that pedigree. And that's all I have today. And just give Big A my best, and I'm going to keep listening. I love y'all.
Wait a minute. Don't go anywhere, Charles. First of all, I'm going to let you know that as of now, the future odds I see don't have Mischief in the Classic, but they have him as 4 to 1 co-favored in the turf with Tarnawa, who, of course, won the race last year. So as of now, they're looking at him running in the turf. But I know Dave wanted to jump in about what you had talked about with Baffert earlier.
Well, Charles, it seems to me that you know your horses and you love this sport. It sounds like you've been betting it and following it for a long time. I respect that. I respect your opinion on Bob Baffert, that there needs to be some sort of justice system and that punishment should go along with a crime. But I don't understand your stance not to bet on him. If the idea behind betting is winning money, what is the point in not wagering on him? Doesn't that defeat the purpose of gambling on horses?
Well, Dave, I respect your viewpoint, but I love the sport more than I love money. I love the sport. I love the betting. Don't misunderstand me. But I think there are some things that are in life are bigger than money. And I just detest when I see a jockey get 10 years for using a buzzer. And he might need to get 20 years. Don't misunderstand that. But I like justice to be applied equally. I don't like to see some people treated better than other people.
Right. So in a race that Bob Baffert has a horse, and let's say he goes off at the 3-2 favorite, and you recognize he has the best horse in the race, but you won't bet on him, what do you do with that race?
I just pass it. Just like if I see something I don't, or any other race, and I know that that's great. But see, how old are you, Dave?
I'm 40.
I'm 70. I'll be 72 on my next birthday. I've been playing horses since I was 15 years old. I used to break. I mean, I used to bet horses. I started betting like in high school. I used to skip high class and ride to the track, Oakland Park, which is 162 miles from my house. And I used to skip school for 2 days at a time just to go to Oakland Park. I love this sport. I've seen, I was at Pimlico with a dear friend of mine when Secretariat goes from last to first on the first turn. I've seen too many horses. The sport means too much to me. I cannot stand that this man takes advantage in the biggest races in this country, and he is always hiding behind a lawyer. And I just won't bet his horses. You know, I just will not. There are other trainers I will not bet because what was his name? George Navarro? Man, I you could just look at his numbers and say he was doing something. It's just something in my thing. But when I love the genealogy of horse. Just like I said, when I looked at that Mischief, when you go back and look at the breeding on that horse and you watch films of his races in the Saudi Cup, or you watch his races in Dubai, or you watch that race in York, this guy has got a high turn of speed, either on the dirt or the turf. And I respect everybody when it comes to their feelings about horse racing, because, it just means so much to me, Dave.
I love the passion.
Look, I had Bodie Meister in the what year was that? 210, 211, 212. What year was Bodie Meister? That was the biggest bet I made in 10 years on Bodie Meister because at Oakland Park he breaks out of the 12-0 and wins the Arkansas Derby. I didn't think there was a horse alive that could touch him. Alive to touch him. I mean, I used to love Baffert, but I don't love what he does.
Yep.
You know, I just don't love that this man can look at a label and know that this is a banned substance, and he puts it on his horse, which is a detriment to the horse itself. He could hurt the horse. And then you look at all the horses that he's broke down, Dave. You know, there's got to be, I don't know. You came at me from an angle I wasn't ready for, Dave.
Well, Charles,
I appreciate y'all, and you know, it's more than money with me, Dave. Okay,
Charles, we really appreciate it, and we love your opinion, and thank you so much for your call. And hope you made enough on the Charlie Appleby runners this past weekend at Belmont and Woodbine to at least take yourself out to a really nice dinner or two. And you know what? Nobody's going to change your mind if you don't want to bet Bob Baffert horses. Nobody's making you bet Bob Baffert horses. You know what you're doing. You know, now there are going to be some races where if you don't want to bet the Bob Baffert horses, you still might think they're going to win. You probably are going to pass those races. That's a different story, right, Dave?
Oh, there's no question. I mean, I respect Charles. He is obviously incredibly passionate about it, and he feels strongly, and that's great. But I have friends and colleagues that wouldn't bet on Medina Spirit in the Kentucky Derby. I cashed several large wagers with Medina Spirit, and does it feel a little bit dirty? Yeah, maybe, sure. But in the end, you either have that money in your account or you don't, and if the horse fits, particularly Medina Spirit, who went off at a nice price, I understand it, but by him not betting on Bob Baffert, it in no way changes what goes on. That has absolutely no impact on the way races are run.
Well, I also did not bet on Medina Spirit in the Kentucky Derby, like some of your friends, but not because it's Bob Baffert. I just didn't like him at all, and I was wrong. It is what it is. I couldn't get it out of my mind that he was like the third best Baffert three-year-old behind Life is Good and whoever else, and maybe Concert Tour before he kind of went south, and that he could possibly win the Derby. And as it turns out, I still don't know if he's better than Life is Good, but he was obviously very good in the Kentucky Derby, and he's a very nice horse, and we'll see where it goes from there. Let's head it out to the phone lines once again. George in Naples, welcome back to the BristNet.com call-in show.
Hey, guys. I'm going to hit on a positive, and I view it as a positive. No pun intended. Thank you, Monomoy Girl. Every once in a while in my life, and I like Charles in Mississippi. I'm 62. He's got 10 years on me, but I started when I was 15 betting horses. So I've been around him a while. But every once in a while, a horse or a filly or a mare comes along and doesn't owe you anything either on the racetrack or at the windows. She was like that for me. I don't have enough superlatives. You know, in a day and age when champions, the words champion is kind of overused. It's not overused with her. I would be astonished if she wasn't first ballot Hall of Fame. She was just a pleasure to watch. She was goosebump material. And you know, I guess some of the credit has to go to Brad Cox for manager like he did. And of course, Midnight Bisou was flattered by her being out, because Midnight Bisou rose up when she went to the sidelines as a four-year-old and really won a lot of races, a lot of big races. So, but when she came back, she kind of put everything in perspective as who was the boss of the division. I'm just delighted that we had her. And hats, like I said, hats off to the connections. And I'm sure with going to Spendthrift, we're going to see some Midnight Bisou to Into Mischief. Oh my God. Get ready for that. It's exciting. And the other thing I have real quick, and I'll hang up, is I'm not buying Medina Spirit not coming because of the nine hole for 5 seconds. I don't know why she's not coming, but I'll bet my life it's not because of the nine hole. Thanks, guys. We love the show.
Thanks, George, for your call. Really appreciate it. Well, first of all, I agree with you about that last say. I mentioned it yesterday. Just because somebody says something doesn't make it true. And I don't think the nine hole had anything to do with it. If it was just the nine hole that had something to do with it, he wouldn't be scratching his filly out of the cotillion as well. So I don't buy that. Whatever it is, it is. And, you know, maybe it could simply be, and, you know, Dave, this makes sense. You know, the older horses in California are not what you would consider killers. You know, they're Express Train and Idle and these kind of horses. You know, maybe facing the older horses in the Awesome again for $300,000 is an easier spot than running in the Pennsylvania Derby for $1 million. I know it's only 30% of the money, but it could actually be a much easier spot. Medina Spirit could be favored against his elders that day. I agree with George. Monomoy Girl owes us nothing. I think Brad Cox did a phenomenal job with her. I mean, she was off for a year and a half and came back as good, if not better, than when she left. Really remarkable job by Brad Cox and his team. Great that Monomoy Girl gave us what she did. And I don't know if I'm going to get to see her. Believe it or not, I have a farm tour lined up middle October at Spendthrift. I'm going to be in Lexington, Kentucky. I've never been to Spendthrift. Taking my wife, we're going on a farm tour. You know, I was looking forward to seeing Into Mischief and all the great stallions there. Oh, it'd be phenomenal if somehow Monomoy Girl is there. I don't know if she's going to be there. That would be great. I'm going to get some pictures.
Yeah, that would be phenomenal. I saw Zenyatta on the farm a couple of years ago, and it was just an experience that I'll never forget. Monomoy Girl, an absolute legend, an unbelievable career. I agree with you on Medina Spirit and with George on Medina Spirit. It doesn't make sense that you would scratch just because of the post position. I think if you were going to send one horse, you send two. I understand why the second horse would scratch. You just don't bother sending any at all. But the post position reasoning, it just doesn't really add up.
Well, the reason I don't think that you would scratch both if you're going to scratch one is the Cotillion is also a grade one race. I mean, you're passing up one of the last chances, maybe the last chance there is to run against straight three-year-old fillies in a grade one race. I don't buy it. Just because the stablemate isn't going, that it doesn't make sense to me. What did he say in Glorious Bastards? He said, when something seems too good to be true, it ain't. And that's exactly the way I feel about this story. I don't know what the truth is, but I'm not buying what they told us. We're going to take a break. When we come back, phone lines are open once again. Give us a call, 888-966-4776. Dave, you owe me one more best bet for the Breeders' Cup 2 days. You gave me Gamine. She's low-hanging fruit. You're going to have to take a tougher stance after the break. You're listening to Brisnet.com Call-In Show here on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com Call-In Show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips. Plus, sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
To be able to go back to the movies.
Introduce my family to my new girlfriend.
For my husband, who's been a chronic asthmatic his whole life.
So I can visit friends in a different state.
So I can take my granddaughter out to the park again.
So that I can hug my 85-year-old grandma again.
We each have our own reason for why we're getting vaccinated against COVID-19. What will yours be? Visit GetVaccineAnswers.org for information on the COVID-19 vaccines. It's up to you. Brought to you by the Ad Council.
Hi, this is Kurt Becker. Join me each week on the Equine Forum as I take you on a stroll through racing history presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. In this week's edition, I take a look back at the racing career of Gallant Bob. Listen live on the Equine Forum every Saturday morning on Sirius 219 or XM 201, or visit our website at horseracingradio.net to access the archives and enjoy past editions. It's a stroll through racing history with me, Kurt Becker, presented by Lane's End and Keeneland. Only here on HRRN.
Hi, this is Joel Rosario, and I listen to the Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the Brisnet.com Call-In Show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the Brisnet.com Call-In Show. Here, Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman on a Thursday night. Let's head back out to the phone lines. Josh in Nevada, welcome to the show.
Hey, how are you guys?
Hey, Josh, how are you?
Very good. My lock is Gamine. I think she can't be beat. I love Flightline, love Ginobili, love Tripoli. And my bet against is essential quality. I think she'll finally be beat.
All right, so going against Essential Quality, who could be favored in the race, although stablemate Nick's Go as of now seems like he may be slightly favored if all things hold sway. Obviously, a lot still has to do with how he does in the Lucas Classic next weekend at Churchill Downs. So Gamine, and who was your second one?
The sprinter out at Del Mar the other day. I think it was Flightline.
Okay, so Flightline, who opened up, by the way, according to Bovada, and thanks for your call, Josh. According to Bovada, Flightline opened up as the 5-2 favorite, Dave, in the Breeders' Cup Sprint. This was just a few days ago because they really haven't even thought about the sprint. It wasn't until John Sadler kind of mentioned that it was in their thoughts that Flightline was offered up for futures wagering. He opened up as a 5-2 favorite. Jackie's Warrior was second choice at 3-1. They've flip-flopped in Bovada. So the public is liking Jackie's Warrior a little bit more right now than Flightline. We're going to see Jackie's Warrior, by the way, this Saturday in the Gallant Bob at Parks.
Yeah, I think you and I talked about, I don't know if it was today's race day program or yesterday, that's a division looking for a superstar. And you see Flightline and you see that last race and you go, oh boy, maybe this is what we're looking for. I agree with Josh about essential quality. That's the horse I'm targeting to bet against in the Breeders' Cup. I feel like the horse is ready to be beat. If you go back and watch the last race, the Travers, it was a good race, not a great race. And I really like Maxfield a great deal. And I understand that in the Whitney, Maxfield was handled pretty easily against Nick's Go. If you go back and look at the chart, what it doesn't say is there was an hour rain delay. It was sloppy and sealed. And if you had the lead, there was no chance you weren't going to win the race. I love Nick's Go. Terrific horse. But Maxfield had no chance to win that race when they left the paddock. So I think given another opportunity, I like the chances a lot more.
Okay, so you had mentioned that Gamine was certainly one of your most likely winners as of now. Who is your second as far as a most likely winner if you had to pick today?
Santa Barbara in the Philly and Mare turf. I just think her two races have been unbelievable. She beat a horse that I really, really like in Mean Mary in the Beverly D. And that first race, the Belmont Oaks Invitational, it wasn't an unbelievable field, but totally blocked and stopped, re-rallied, and was just much the best. I have been impressed with everything I have seen out of that horse.
Well, I'm going to give you some very bad news, my friend.
Okay.
And I'm not making this up. According to our friends at bloodhorse.com, this is a bad headline. Dual grade one winner Santa Barbara succumbs to injury. She was unable to be saved after complications from a fractured pelvis. And this is right there, front and center now, as of today, on bloodhorse.com. She unfortunately has died because of complications from the injury. So, unfortunately, I did not get to tell you that. I did not expect you to go that direction with that. It's very, very bad news. Boy, I mean, you just hate to hear that. You hate to hear it from any runners, not necessarily just the best runners out there. You just hate hearing these stories. But according to Aidan O'Brien, she fractured her pelvis, and unfortunately, the fracture displaced overnight. She was a very talented filly. I mean, what is he supposed to say? I mean, he's probably devastated. They're probably devastated. But unfortunately, Santa Barbara is not with us anymore.
Wow. Was it a training injury?
I can't see that. It said, it said that she was ruled out of the Breeders' Cup earlier this week and treated for a fractured pelvis, but unable to be saved after further complications. So it certainly sounds like something that was not in the race, or maybe it happened after, or I don't know. Whatever it was, it doesn't matter. It's bad news, and I hate to read those kind of things. And I didn't mean to put you in a weirdo spot there, but you were rolling, and I was like, uh-oh, wait a minute. I just saw something about Santa Barbara. I better go check what this was. And it was the worst. Bad news. So I'm going to
really
have to make you reassess. But you know what? Instead of doing that, You mentioned that essential quality is a horse that you're going to be looking forward to betting against. Is that your answer to that question, or is there somebody else out there that you know is going to get played that you're just not all with?
No, that's the one. And the way I like to play, and you and I have talked about this, is I like to play pick fives and pick sixes, and then I like to tier horses in kind of a top category and a second category, maybe a third category, and obviously you toss some. Essential quality has to be played underneath to me as a B or a C, but it's going to go off as one of the two or three favorites. I just don't see it that way. 8 out of 9 is great, but I feel like each race is more and more difficult for him to win, and now you face older horses. I just think that's a tremendous challenge. I often like to bet on older horses versus three-year-olds stepping up, particularly ones who, hey, you can't deny 8 out of 9 is unbelievable. Winning is winning. I just think this horse is going to face better and succumb.
I'm going to give you right now the current early favorites, according to Bovada, for each division. And as we go to break, you can think about who, at least right now, they or the people who are betting think may be favored in the race. And maybe you'll call in and you'll have somebody that stands out and say, well, I'm 100% against that horse. And some of these are horses that you may not recognize because they do some of their running or most of their running across the pond. So in the Juvenile Turf Sprint, Twilight Gleaming is the slight favorite. Echo Zulu is slightly favored over Grace Adler and Hidden Connection as far as the Breeders' Cup Juvenile Fillies. Juvenile Turf, it's Point Lonsdale over Albar. They're very close in the early wagering. Wild Beauty in the Juvenile Fillies Turf. Major General is the current early favorite in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile over Gunite, Pinehurst, Wit, and Corniche. Gamine is heavily favored in the Pillion's Mare Sprint. Golden Pal is the favorite in the Turf Sprint. Life is Good, who will be running in the Kelso this Saturday at Belmont Park, is the slight favorite over Flightline in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. I don't think he's running in there. Jackie's Warriors also in that thing. Silver State is the fourth choice. I think he's more likely to run in that race. Warlike Goddess and Love are very close at the top of the Philly and Mare Turf. Jackie's Warrior narrowly over Flightline in the Sprint. Palace Pier is a heavy favorite in the Breeders' Cup Mile. Latruska, solidly favored in the Distaff. Mishriff and Tarnawa, co-favored in the Turf. And Nixco, the slight favorite over Essential Quality in the Breeders' Cup Classic. Those are future book odds, according to Bovada. We're going to take our final break. The phone lines are still open. Give us a call if you'd like, 888-966-4776. You're listening to the Brisnet.com call-in show on HRRN.
This is the Brisnet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Do you want unlimited access to handicapping without exorbitant prices? Then Brisnet.com has you covered with a variety of plans for past performances, pedigree, and raw data. Brisnet.com Performance Plan covers unlimited PDF past performances for just $85 per month and is available at Brisnet.com/plans. American Produce Records Online puts the pedigrees of nearly 1 million dams and more than 2 million foals at your fingertips, plus sire stats for only $275 per year and is available at Brisnet.com/APR. The Brisnet.com data plan offers unlimited access to race day data files, perfect for handicappers with their own database or to plug into other people's programs. The data plan is $125 per month. Visit Brisnet.com for all this information and more, and discover why Brisnet is the handicapper's edge.
When kids need medical care, they will often face stressful and life-changing experiences. From complex treatments to long hospital stays, these special patients miss out on the things that most kids take for granted and let kids be kids. That's where Starlight Children's Foundation comes in. Since 1982, Starlight Children's Foundation has transformed the in-hospital experience for more than 17 million seriously ill kids in 800 children's hospitals and facilities across the United States. Our state-of-the-art programs like Starlight Virtual Reality, Starlight Hospitalware, and Starlight Gaming let kids just be kids, if even for a few moments. Whether donning an action figure gown instead of standard hospital issue, or settling into gamer mode, if it brings a smile, a laugh, or just a break from their reality, it's happiness delivered. Learn more at starlight.org. That's starlight.org.
Hi, this is jockey Brian Hernandez. For me, there's no bigger thrill than crossing the finish line in front, and nobody captures the excitement of our sport like Horse Racing Radio Network. Each week, HRRN brings you exclusive talk shows, podcasts, and in-depth conversations with the biggest names in racing, jockeys, trainers, owners, and more. Plus, HRRN is committed to helping disabled riders through their support of the PDJF. So climb aboard a winner today by visiting horseracingradio.net.
This is Dale Romans, and you're listening to Horse Racing Radio Network.
This is the BrisNet.com call-in show. The phone lines are open. Call now, 888-966-HRRN. That's 888-966-4776.
Welcome back to the BrisNet.com call-in show here on HRRN. Bobby Newman and Dave Friedman in our final segment, wrapping up another great edition of the call-in show. We've got Dave's best play or most likely winner. Not necessarily best play, because I know it's not going to be your the race that you're going to really focus on, but your most likely winner, and a lot of people's most likely winner, is going to be Gamin in the Breeders' Cup Filly and Mare Sprint, assuming nothing strange happens between now and Breeders' Cup Saturday on November 6th at Del Mar. Your biggest bet against is going to be Essential Quality in the Breeders' Cup Classic. He will be one of the favorites, if not the favorite. Boy, Brad Cox holds a strong hand there. He's got a horse that's faster than everybody early, and a lot of times faster than everybody late in Nick's Go. And he's got a horse that just grinds away and never, ever runs a bad race in Essential Quality. Boy, that's a heck of a 1-2 punch to have. I don't know if Nick's Go or any of the three-year-olds are as, if Essential Quality or any of the three-year-olds are as fast as Nick's Go, if he runs his race, it's going to be fun to watch, though.
Let me ask you this, Bobby. If Life is Good runs this weekend the way that we thought Life is Good was going to run before the injury, obviously didn't run a terrific race, a one-turn race against Jackie's Warrior in the Jerkins at Saratoga. But I thought needed that race badly and just missed. He comes back and runs terrific this weekend. Do they try the Classic?
I don't think so. I think they wouldn't be running in the Kelso this weekend if they were looking at the Classic for the next race. It doesn't mean that they won't look at that later on, but I think right now they're thinking that he is more of a miler, and he's a horse that they'd probably want to run in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. They probably, if they're not going to give him a break, would point toward the Malibu the day after Christmas, opening day at Santa Anita, going 7 furlongs against straight three-year-olds, where he could face Flight Line and Jackie's Warrior. Boy, what a three-year-old matchup that would be. And my guess is that he will somehow be pointed to the Met Mile middle of next summer. That's the path I'm imagining for Life is Good.
I like Life is Good a lot, and if you can get me 10-1 in the Dirt Mile, I will happily take that, because I think the odds in the Classic would probably be something similar. I think the question for the connections is, you know, and again, it depends on how he runs this weekend, but do you want to face Nick's Go, Essential Quality, and that crew, or do you want to face Flight Line and that group?
Well, here's the thing, and this is according to Bovada, which is not the end-all, be-all as far as odds going. In the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, they have Life is Good favored at 3-1. They have Flight Line at 4-1, Jackie's Warrior at 4-1. I would say there's a very good chance Flight Line is not running in the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile. If he runs in the Breeders' Cup, it's probably going to be in the sprint. My guess is if Jackie's Warrior runs in the Breeders' Cup, it will not be in the Dirt Mile. Because remember, it's not a one-turn mile, it's a two-turn mile at Del Mar. My guess is Jackie's Warrior would run in the Breeders' Cup sprint. which is probably why he's running into Gallant Bob this weekend at Park. So life is good as 3-1, and he's going to be 1-5 or whatever it is in the Kelso this weekend. Flightline's the second choice. He's probably not going there. Jackie's Warrior's the third choice. He's probably not going there. You have Silver State, the fourth choice. He's running at Parks as well. So if Life is Good has to face Silver State and Art Collector, horses like that, you're not going to get a price on him, especially if he does what most people think he's going to do this Saturday in the Kelso. He is a gigantic favorite on the morning line, and to be perfectly honest, he looks like he towers over the field. I thought at first I was disappointed with his race against Jackie's Warrior. I was disappointed that he gave up the lead to Jackie's Warrior. In looking back at it, I think that he actually ran his race. Jackie's Warrior just ran better than he had ever run before, and Jackie's Warrior, listen, I'm not afraid to admit when I'm wrong. Like Midnight Bourbon, Jackie's Warrior is a better horse than I've ever thought he was. This is a horse I've always tried to beat. I was very happy when he lost to Essential Quality in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile last year at Keeneland as a two-year-old. I've never thought that this horse was as good as the hype, and he's just way, way better than I thought. Listen, it is what it is. If we're right all the time, listen, to be perfectly honest, if we're right all the time, I wouldn't be talking to you on the radio right now. I'd be probably sitting somewhere, you know, in one of my 18 houses, you know, either in the south of France or in St. Bart's or over on the Big Island of Hawaii or, you know, on a golf course in Scottsdale. But I'm not, and I'm very happy to be talking on the radio because we're talking about racing and what's better than that. But I think Life is Good will go to the dirt mile, and I think he will be favored in the dirt mile unless he just lays an egg this weekend in a race where he really has no business not winning.
Do you think Life is Good will continue to run for another chance at it? As in, he missed a huge portion of this year. He wins in the Kelso. He wins an event that he's highly favored at in the Breeders' Cup. Do we get to see him next year and maybe get that chance in a Breeders' Cup Classic?
That part I don't know. I mean, the money for the Classic is so drastic now as far as how much more it is than some of these other Breeders' Cup races. But the truth is, and we've seen it, and this is the part of racing that bothers me is there's so much money in the stallion part of this game. And if you have a horse that's already a Breeders' Cup winner and a multiple grade one winner or whatever, multiple graded stakes winner, you know, the end game is not them winning more Breeders' Cup races. The end game is getting enough things on the resume so we can list them for, you know, $75,000 live full first year, whatever, you know, whatever it is. I don't know how to properly, you know, quote that as to what number, but I'm worried that we won't get that far with him. And to be perfectly honest, if he wins the Kelso, which he should, if he wins the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile, which he could, if he wins the Met Mile next year, what do you really need more from him? I mean, we've seen over the years, these horses that win the Met Mile are phenomenal stallion prospects. And, you know, Silver State's already got that under his belt. Maybe Life is Good. We'll be looking at that next summer.
What do you think would be more impressive to go into being a stallion as winning a dirt mile where you're an enormous favorite and don't face a whole lot, or taking a chance at the best of the best and maybe finishing second or third, of course, giving yourself an opportunity to win the bigger money and to win the race that obviously would stamp you one of the greats in the Classic?
Well, from the little bit I know on the breeding and purchasing end of it, and it's a great question, I've never seen a catalog book that when they list a horse being by so-and-so, it doesn't say winner of the highest-rated Breeders' Cup Classic of all time or rated, you know, let's put it this way. Horses that ran in the Breeders' Cup Juvenile a few years ago when Dennis's Moment and Eight Rings and all of them laid eggs and, what was it, Storm the Court won the race. Storm the Court, he's going in, you know, if he becomes a stallion,
He's a Grade 1 Breeders' Cup Juvenile winner, not the Grade 1 worst Breeders' Cup Juvenile in the history of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. It does not say that in the catalog book, and they don't promote it that way at whatever stallion farm he would be at. He won the Breeders' Cup Juvenile, a Grade 1 race. That's all that really matters. I think that's the way it is. It's a great question. It was a great hour. Glad we got to spend it with you, Dave. Your maiden voyage on the BristNet.com call-in show. Thanks to everyone who listened. Thanks to everyone who called in. On behalf of our producer, Lee Delapina, my co-host, Dave Freeman, I'm Bobby Newman. Have a great night, everyone. Join us tomorrow. Another 4 days, 4 hours of action here on the network. 3 to 6, race day, presented by Twin Spires, live racing from Belmont, Churchill, and Gulfstream. And then from 6 to 7 Eastern Time, the weekend stakes preview presented by Naira Betts. We'll look at 13 big races around North America this Saturday and Sunday. Have a great evening, everyone.